We are starting on the Mishnah on the bottom of Nun Hei Amud Beis. We're doing Sanhedrin Daf Nun Vav. The Mishnah turns its attention to Gidaf. Again, this is the seventh parak of Sanhedrin. The Mishnah earlier discussed the 18 different averus in the Torah where one is subject to the Skila penalty. And this Mishnah now is going to zoom in and take a deeper dive into the Isser of Megadiv, blasphemy, and Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the Mishnah begins, Megadiv enochayv achi yifarish Hashem. So the Mishnah starts off with the basic halacha, and that is that if a person is going to be subject to the capital penalty and the capital punishment of Skila when it comes to Gidus, so he has to be mefarish Hashem, he has to enunciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. Rashi over here writes, she yizkor is Hashem. You actually have to mention Hashem's name. Aval imlo hotzi shem mipiv, ala shama shem yotzi mipi achir or baruch hu pater. But Rashi points out that if you hear the name from somebody else, you see they hear the name of a Kadosh Baruch Hu from somebody else, and on that you curse, so that is a patur, that's an exemption. It goes without saying, it's obvious that it's aser, it's prohibited to engage in any kind of activity like this, but the Mishnah over here is just focusing on when will the Chiv Skila, when will the capital punishment ensue? So one has to enunciate and pronounce the name by himself, and then curse the name. Amar Yishuv and Karcha, the Mishnah continues. We are now in the very top of Nun Vav and Aleph. B'chol yom danes eidim b'kinui. Yaki Yosi is Yosi. The entire day, so the witnesses are going to be using a kinui, a nickname. For example, says the Mishnah, Yosi, Yaki Yosi is Yosi. Yosi should strike Yosi. Now, what exactly is meant over here is as follows. Says Rashi, on the top of the Amud Nun Vav Amud Aleph, Kozman Shayu Nosim and Nosim Bibidika Seidim, while they were in the interrogation process of the witnesses, Hayu Dan Nosim Bikinui. So everything at this point, from this point during interrogation, would be used in nicknames. Klamar Hayu Dan Imahemu Botkinosim Bikinui. Heich Amar Kach, Amar Yaki Yosi is Yosi. And a total euphemism would be used in the courtroom to describe the Gidav, to describe the blasphemy. Hai kinui lav, kinui Hashem kamar. Now, kinui over here, says Rashi, is not to be confused with another term, which is kinui Hashem, a nickname for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. We will be learning later on that a nickname, there are a number of quote-unquote nicknames of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's names. But over there, the word kinui does not mean nickname, meaning that it's a substitute, but kinui over there actually means that they are derivative names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they actually, to a certain degree, have the same kedusha and the same status as the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. But meanwhile, over here, however, we're discussing the word kinui in the sense of it's really a colloquial, it's really a euphemism. We're not using Hashem's name during the interrogation process. Ella Bezdin, and Rashi just simply gives us a derivative over here of the word kinui. In this sense, means that it's a euphemism. It's not to be taken literally. And Rashi gives examples both from the Gemara and Shavuos and from the Pasuk and Eiv to this idea. Okay, so far in Rashi, what we've established is that during the interrogation process, we don't want to say Shem Hashem, meaning, even though this is a court proceeding, and of course it goes without saying that, even as the witnesses are testifying, they're of course not cursing Kadosh Baruch Hu. What they're doing simply is that they are providing testimony to what happened, to the accounts of the event. Nevertheless, even in the course of the courtroom and even the course of the testimony, still euphemisms should be used so that the name of Hashem should not be cursed, even though there's no intent behind it. It's just simply for the purposes of testimony. But, says Rashi, in explanation of the Mishnah, that's what they would be doing for the entire proceeding. Rashi over here continues, this next part of the Rashi, super interesting. Rashi says, L'hachi nakat yosi es yosi de dalet osios ika, kishem ben arba osios, de enochayev ela al shem hamyucha, dehanu shem ben arba osios. So first of all, why specifically the name Yosi is used as a euphemism to describe the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So starts off Rashi by making the simple observation that it's got four letters, the shem hamyucha, that one would be subject to the capital punishment, is only if he pronounces the Shema Miuchad of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, made up of the four letters Yud, Hey, followed then by a Vav, and then by a Hey. Umishum de Cheshbonosha Yosi ke Cheshbonosha Alokim. And on top of that, Rashi points out that the gematria of the word Yosi is the same gematria as the word Elokim. L'hachi nakat yakaze ezed, di alfin lakaman de enochayv aji yavarach shem v'shem. And in terms of the expression Yaki Yosi is Yosi, so that's based on the upcoming Gemara, which the Gemara is going to tell us, the Braisa, that says that a person is only going to be chayiv if he curses Hashem's name using Hashem's name. That point will be further clarified when we get to the Gemara, so we'll have a better understanding of what exactly that means. In the meantime, however, What we've so far learned in the Mishnah is that in order for someone to be subject to the capital punishment of Megadif, so number one, he has to announce the name of Hashem himself. Number two is that in the court proceedings, they would not be saying the Shem Hashem, the witnesses, nor the judges during deliberation, but rather they would use a kinoid. They would just simply use an expression substituting Shem Hashem, for example, Yaka Yossi Yossi, and Nigmar Din Lahorgan Bikinoi. Now, when it comes to the Gemara Din, meaning if there is actually going to be a sentencing, so the witnesses at one point actually have to say what the person said, meaning it will not be sufficient if the witnesses just give a kinoi over the course of the duration of the deliberation, but at one point there actually has to be a repetition of what the defendant actually said. So for this, it's going to be a very serious and somber moment. Everyone's to be taken outside. And now of the witnesses, they choose the oldest of the witnesses and they ask him to repeat exactly what he heard. And he would say, and the judges would stand up and they would tear kriya on their begotten for hearing the name of Akash Baruch Hu being blasphemed. And they wouldn't stitch it up as a sign of the serious and the gravity of somebody just, even though it's obviously just repeating what he heard, but still, somebody's repeating what he heard in terms of the cursing of Akash Baruch Hu's name. So therefore, the judges are going to do Terkriya and not stitch it up. Vasheni Omer Af Ani Kamo. The second one does not actually also have to repeat that which he heard. He could just simply say Ditto. Vashlishi Omer Af Ani Kamo. And the third witness can also say Ditto as well. Adkan Divrei HaMishnah, we are now turning to the Gemara on Nun Vav Amud Aleph, Tanai Shevarach Shem V'Shem. So the Gemara here quotes the Braisa. We made reference to this Braisa just a moment ago. The Braisa tells us that in order for one to be subject to the death penalty for Giduf, so it's not enough that a person has to blaspheme and curse HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but using Hashem's name in the curse that he's cursing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's almost like a level of seriousness and gravity to the actual curse itself, in that he's using Shem Hashem to curse Shem Hashem. Obviously, a built-in irony, but that's the halacha taught by the Braisa. And that's where we got back to the Mishnah, and that's where the Mishnah uses the kinu of Yaka Yossi Es Yossi. The Gemara continues, Menahani Mili, how do I know this? I'm Rishmul, I'm a Krov, and Okev Shem, Binikvo Shem, Yumas. If you look at the Pasuk in the Torah, in Parshas Emor, Perichav Dalet, so the Torah seemingly is repetitive. I'm reading the Pasuk inside. The Gemara just quotes an excerpt from the Pasuk. The Pasuk reads, Venokev Shem Hashem, Mos Yumas, Ragom Yergamu Bo, Kol Ha'ida, Kager Ka'ezrach, Binakvo Shem Yumas. So twice in the Pasuk, both in the beginning and the end, the Torah says that if a person were to curse and blaspheme HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so Mos Yumas. So the double language within the Pasuk arrives, it brings the Braisa to the conclusion that a person has to curse HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name using HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. How do I know that the word Nokev means to... Now, the Gemara uses the word Bruche. In the context of this entire Gemara, the word Bruche over here is a euphemism. It means to curse. So, how do I know that the word Nokev actually means to curse? The Pasuk in Parshas Balak regarding Bilam. So he says, Ma'akov, how can I curse the Jewish people? Okavo Kel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not curse them. So that is where we see that the word kavod in kov means to curse. The azharta mehacha. Now, where's the azhara? As we know, we've said this now time and again throughout the seventh paragraph of Sanhedrin, there cannot be a punishment until there's also an additional pasuk that gives us the actual iser itself. So the Gemara quotes, Elokim mehacha, Elokim lo sekalel. So it comes from the pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim, where the Torah says that one is not allowed to curse HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Ema Mivrzu, Dechsiv Eikov Chor Bidalso. So the Gemara may gives now what is possibly a totally different explanation of the Pasuk of the Isser of Nokev. Maybe Nokev simply means, says the Gemara, to pierce Hashem's nave. To pierce Hashem's name. The word Nokev also means to pierce. Vayikov Chor Bedalto. Gemara quotes the Pasuk, which clearly indicates that the word Vayikov means to pierce. Vazarte Me'acha. And where would the Yisr be for piercing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name? Vibadatem Hashemam. Lo Sasum Kein Lashem Elokechem. We know that there is an Yisr of erasing God's name. Erasing God's name, and in this case, putting a hole through HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. So, ask the Gemara now, maybe the Isser in the Torah and the capital crime has nothing to do with cursing Kadosh Baruch Hu's name, but just simply an erasure of God's name. So the Gemara says, Be'in Hashem B'Shem V'Leika. Well, we know, as we learned in the Braisa, that in order to successfully violate the sis in the Torah, so one has to curse a Kadosh Baruch Hu's name using Kadosh Baruch Hu's name. There's this idea of shame b'shem. If we're talking about erasing, how can you erase with Hashem's name? How is that even possible? So the Gemara makes first suggestion. Maybe you're having two shemos written one on top of another. In other words, two pieces of paper, one on top of another. And what you do is with some sort of piercing device, you stab both of the names simultaneously. So hu enokev v'chozer v'enokev hu. So the Gemara says, yeah, but that's not a fulfillment of curse shame b'shame. All you're doing is just simply piercing and then followed by another piercing. It's just multiple acts. But what we're looking for is an act where you are using shame to do something to another shame. So the Gemara suggests, well, maybe what you'll do is you'll write Shem Hashem on the knife, on the side of the knife, and then you'll pierce with that knife another Shem Hashem written on a parchment. So the Gemara again rejects this idea because you're not really piercing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. It's the edge of the sword that's piercing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. So Eima Pirush Shmehu Dechsiv. So the Gemara now makes another suggestion. Maybe what the Torah is telling us is that the Isser is not blasphemy, the Isser is not erasing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, but maybe the Isser is just simply a pronunciation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. We know we have a Misora that the Shem Hashem is written one way, but we pronounce it another way. And so maybe the Gemara is suggesting that for those of us who are not allowed to pronounce HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, which is the vast majority of us, there is an allowance on occasion for somebody to pronounce HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, the Kohen Gadol in the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Kippur. But in other words, generally speaking, it's an Isser to pronounce HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name as it is written. And so now what the Gemara is suggesting is that maybe the Isser in the Torah over here is to pronounce HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. So we know that the word nikvu can also just simply mean to articulate, to pronounce. Now, where's the Isser in the Torah? Hashem Elokecha Tira. So, and the Isser in the Torah that one is not allowed to pronounce HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is that it's a violation of giving HaKadosh Baruch Hu the proper reverence and all. Meaning by virtue of the fact that we don't pronounce the name as it's written, that shows that we are in awe of the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning we are it's a function of Yiras Hashem, and that's why we don't pronounce the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now what the Gemara is suggesting is that maybe that's the Isser in the Torah of Nokev. So the Gemara says, Chada Dibin Hashem B'Shem B'Leika. So again, the Gemara says, we already know, and we kind of saw this coming. The Gemara is rejecting this idea based on the fact that in order to violate the Isser of blasphemy, or I should say better, no cave, it has to be shame of shame. If we're talking about the pronunciation, the pronouncement of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, you don't have this shame of shame idea. And number two, va'od avilei azara aseh, v'azara aseh lo shmei azara. And the Gemara also points out as follows. Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, that's a mitzvah to say, that's a positive commandment. We must fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, yes, by deductive reasoning, we know that part of fearing HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not pronouncing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, but that is a lo saseh stemming, generating from a mitzvah saseh. And the Gemara says, that is not a proper azara, that's not an Isser in the Torah. An Isser in the Torah only comes when it comes in a negative form, prefaced with the words either lo, or al, or pen, or shamor. But over here, it's phrased in the positive, and so therefore it cannot serve as a source of an azara. So the Gemara also points out that if you look back at the pasuk that we quote in the beginning of the shir, so it says vayikov, it also says vayikalel. So we look at the pasuk and we see that the part of the Isser in the Torah is specifically to curse HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara says, and this, again, just a little more background over here. If you look back in the Pesukim in Parshas Amor in Perek Chav Daled, the Pasuk says, I'm reading the Pasuk in its entirety, Vayikov ben Isha Yisraelis es Hashem Vayikalel Vayaviyo Oso el Moshe Veshem Imo Shalmiz Bas Divri Lamateidan. So clearly in the Pesukim themselves, the Pasuk makes reference to Kalel, to cursing. So in the context of the Pesukim, clearly this idea of Vayikov is seemingly a subdivision of vayikala, of cursing. Lamemer de nokev kolahu. And again, the Gemara says it seems pretty clear that the correct understanding of nokev in this context means to curse. V'dilma ad avar tavayu. The Gemara now makes another suggestion. Maybe in order for somebody to be chayv misa, he has to do both. He has to do nokev and he has to be mekala. And now at this point, what the Gemara is suggesting is that maybe what the Torah is telling us is that there's really a dual requirement, a dual prerequisite in order to be chayav misa. Maybe you have to first enunciate and pronounce the Kadosh Baruch Hu's name, followed then by actually cursing it as well. So, the Gemara says no, because if you look at in terms of the Torah's description of him being taken out to be executed, it says hotzeis makalal, meaning what exactly is the root iser that he violated? Kilo, cursing the Kadosh Baruch Hu, shema mina. So you see clearly that there's only one aspect to the Avera, and that is cursing. The Gemara now has concluded that the proper way to understand the word nokev in the context of this Isra in the Torah is to curse Shem Hashem. And again, going back to the original point of the Gemara, which is Shem B'Shem, you have to curse a Kadosh Baruch Hu's name using a Kadosh Baruch Hu's name. Tanur Rabban, the Gemara quotes the Brisa, Ish Matam Olam Ish Ish, in introducing us to the Parsha of blasphemy. So the Torah uses the double lashon of ish ish. Elokim lo sekalel. Sorry, I'm quoting the wrong pasuk. Let me do that again. The pasuk again. It's in Perek Chavdal Vayikra. Vel bnei Yisrael tadamei lamor ish ish ki kala elokav v'nasach et o. So the double language of ish. What's the double language? The rabbi says of the kochavim shemuzarim a birchas Hashem ki Yisrael. A non-Jew is also included in this iser of birchas Hashem. Veina naragim ala b'sayif shekol misa amur b'bnei noach eino ala b'sayif. In terms of what capital punishment is actually going to be applied to the non-Jew, so that's going to be saif. It's going to be decapitation, as all capital punishments for ben noach is going to be b'sayif. So what do we have right now? The Gemara now is introducing us to this idea that the double language yishish is coming to tell us that there is an iser of giduf as it relates to a non-Jew, just like for a Jew. Now the Gemara points out, now wait one second, this is one of the Sheva Mitzvahs b'nei Noach, meaning how can the Gemara now suggest that the entire source of a non-Jew vis-a-vis the Isser of Giduf is coming from a Pasuk in Parshas Emor, when meanwhile it's one of the Sheva Mitzvahs b'nei Noach, and we know that the Sheva Mitzvahs b'nei Noach are darshened out in the Torah much earlier. Now, this is really almost kind of like the introduction to the Sheva Mitzvahs b'nei Noach. On the bottom of the Samud, the Gemara is going to start and engage in a lengthy discussion, 2.5 dapim, regarding Sheva Mitzvahs b'nei Noach. But here, as by way of introduction, let's just point out that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, so he laid down some of the most basic guidelines in terms of the foundation of the world. Now, it's not clear from the Gemara over here whether or not the Sheva Mitzvahs b'nei Noach were given to Adam or they were given to Noach. We call them Sheva Mitzvahs b'nei Noach, but quite frankly, that could just simply be a function of the fact that Noach himself was a progenitor of the entire human population. Kadosh Baruch Hu destroyed the world and restarted the world with just Noach, so we call them Sheva Mitzvahs b'nei Noach because we're descendants of Noach. But it could very well be that Sheva Mitzvahs b'nei Noach were already nistavet to Adam HaRishon. In fact, the Gemara in just a moment is going to be quoting Pesukim, introducing us to the idea of Sheva Mitzvahs b'nei Noach, quoting the Pesuk by Adam HaRishon. So, Sheva Mitzvahs b'nei Noach does not necessarily mean that it goes back to Noach. It could go back even earlier to Adam HaRishon. In any event, here the Gemara now quotes the Pasuk. We're going to be seeing this Pasuk a lot. It's from the second parak of Bereishis, Vayitzav. I'm reading the Pasuk inside in its totality. Vayitzav Hashem Elokim al ha'adam le'mor mikol eitz hagan ochol tochel. Now, in the Pasuk, kipshuto, simple pshat in the Pasuk is that this is just simply the introduction to Adam HaRishon not to eat from the Eitz Hadas. But what is encrypted in this Pasuk, and this is what now the Gemara is darshaning, is actually the Sheva Mitzvahs b'nei Noach. The Gemara begins. So, Hashem Zubirchas Hashem. The first mention of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name in the Pasuk is an Isser of blasphemy. I'm sorry. Now, later we're going to go through the Pasuk more in its entirety and we're going to learn out the other six mitzvahs b'nei Noach from the Pasuk. But in the meantime, however, the question the Gemara is posing right now is very strong. The Gemara here is saying that blasphemy is one of the Sheva Mitzvahs b'nei Noach. And meanwhile, the Ish Ish in Parshas Emor is coming as a ribui to include non-Jews towards the Isser of Giduf. But that seems to be repetitive, and that's the question, and the Gemara now provides an answer. Amar Yitzchak Nafkal Mitzvachal Rabusa Kinuyim V'Aliba de Rab Meir. So the Gemara says, well, maybe what it's coming to do is it's coming to include Kinuyim as well. Now, the word Kinuyim over here, let's remind ourselves what we learned earlier with the Rashi, not to be confused with the word Kinuy that we used earlier. Kinuy that we used earlier was just simply a euphemism, meaning when the Mishnah says Yaki Yosi, it's Yosi. So there, the word Yosi over there is simply euphemistic. It's a reference to Kadosh Baruch Hu, but without us wanting to actually say that we're going to curse Kadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, we are not using Shem Hashem, we're using a kinui. Over here, however, the word kinui actually means that there is Shema Miyucha. There's the Shema of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that is the four-letter name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which we mentioned earlier. We spelled out earlier, I should say. Over here now, there are other names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that also have Kedusha. Names like Elohim and Shakai and Tzivakos and Rashi here gives those examples. So now the Gemara points out, would there be an Isser of Giduf as it relates to the Kinuyim? So the Gemara points out, that's what's being added with the Drush of Ish. Let's see this inside the Gemara, but this is not according to everyone. This is only going according to one opinion. The Gemara is going to spell this out. The Gemara quotes the Brisa. Ish Ish Ki Kalalo Kavanasacheto. Ma'al Talmud Lomar Velok V'anemar V'nokev Shem Hashem Mos Yumas. So the Brisa over here, this is going to be the Shita of Rav Meir. The Rav Meir within this Brisa is bothered by a simple question. How come the Torah seems to be repetitive teaching us that a person is not allowed to curse the Kadosh Baruch Hu when meanwhile the Torah already said V'nokev Shem Hashem Mos Yimas L'fisha Nemar V'nokev Shem Mos Yimas Yoch Lo Yechayv Ala'im Ela Al Shem HaMiyucha Bilvad. I might have thought that the Isser in the Torah is only when mentioning Shem Hashem, the Shem HaMiyucha, the Yudke Vavke Minayin L'Rabbetz Kol HaKinuyim. How do I know that it's coming to include all various kinuyim? Tam alomar ish ki yikalal alokav mikol makom div Rav Meir. So the ish is coming to tell me that ki yikalal, when he curses Shem Hashem, and he doesn't have to be Shem HaMiyuchad, it could be any one of the kinuyim, any one of the other names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he too is going to be in violation of Giduf, and he too is going to be subject to the death penalty of Skila. And now, based on the sheet of Rav Meir, so now we could say that that's what we're coming to include as vis-a-vis Goyim are concerned as well. When it comes to the Bnei Noach, meaning if it just were the original Isser of the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, that's only for the Shema Miyuchad. Now what the Ishish is coming to tell us is that for the Bnei Noach, they too are going to be subject to the Isser of Giduf, even if they use one of the Kinuyim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'chachamim Shema Miyuchad b'misav al Kinuyim ba'azara. And according to the Chachamim, the Shema Miyuchad is the capital crime of Giduf. If a person were to curse any of the other names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's an azara, it's an Isser to do so, but it is not going to be subject to capital punishment. Upliga the Rav Meisha. Now, this presentation of as we just learned it according to Rav Yitzchak Nafcha is going to be in disagreement with Rav Meisha. Damar Rav Meisha ben Noach shebirchas Hashem b'kinuyim l'Rabban Nechayev. That if I have a ben Noach who curses a Kadosh Baruch Hu using one of the kinuyim according to the Chachamim, he's going to be chayev. Now, this Rav Meisha position is not going like the way that Rav Yitzchak Nafcha presented it. Because according to Rav Yitzchak Nafcha, this would only be according to Rav Meir. But according to the Chachamim, where the Chachamim exclude capital punishment for cursing any of the other names of Kadosh Baruch Hu, so Rav Yitzchak Nafcha understood that the Chachamim would have the same halacha vis-a-vis the Bnei Noach. Now, according to Rav Meisha, a Ben Noach, even according to the Chachamim, is going to be subject to a capital punishment for blasphemy, even if using one of the Kinuim, and that would be even according to the Chachamim. So, my time and Damakar, Kegerka Ezrach. So, and the reason why is as follows, because we know that the Isser of Giduf in the Torah is applicable to Ger ve'Ezrach. We quoted the Pasuk earlier. The Torah limits it to Ger ve'Ezrach. Ezrach is a citizen, meaning, right, a Jew born from a Jew. And Ger is in this case, a Ger Tzedek, meaning a full convert. So that means to say that these halachas of Giduf have something specific and unique to people who are full-fledged Jews, either Jew from birth or a Jew through conversion. Ger ve'Ezrach hu de'inan b'nakvo shem. But when it comes to a guy, even if they were to curse a kinui of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Elohim, or Tzvakos, or Shakai, so they're going to be subject to the capital punishment. And so now Rav Meisha has it that even according to the Chachamim, there's going to be a difference between a guy and a Jew. A Jew is only Chayiv Misa, only for Shema Miyuchan, and a guy is going to be Chayiv Misa for even kinuyim as well. Now, according to Rav Meisha, what is Rav Meir going to learn out from Ger ve'Ezrach? So Gerva Ezrach Biskila Volovikochan Besaif, it's coming to tell us that there are different death penalties for the Jew and for the Ovikochavim. For the Jew, the punishment is going to be Skila. For the Ovikochavim, it's going to be Saif, because as we pointed out earlier, the capital punishment for the Ovikochavim is always going to be Saif. So, what would have been the Havim? I mean, why would I have thought differently? The Gemara goes on to explain. Since the Torah, with the words Ish, is telling us that there's a halacha of Giduf that not only applies to a Jew, but applies to a non-Jew as well. So, I would have thought that we would have, even though under normal circumstances the capital punishment for a non-Jew is Sayef, but because Ishish is coming to create a parallel of a Jew and non-Jew vis-a-vis the halach of Giduf, so that parallel would have also included giving the non-Jew the punishment of skila. That's all within the Havamina Kamash Malan. Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, Liba de Rabban, Haike Ger, Ger Vezrach, my Avile. Now, according to Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, what would the Chachamim do with Ger Vezrach? Remember, according to Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, he understands that according to the Chachamim, there is no difference between Jew and non-Jew vis-a-vis the Isra of Giduf. And according to the Chachamim, based on Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha's understanding, there would only be a capital punishment in the case of being a no-cave Shem HaMiyuchad. So that's true. Then what is the Torah coming to teach us with the words Ger Ve'ezrach? Ger Ve'ezrach hu d'bin Hashem B'Shem aval v'kocham lo b'in Hashem B'Shem. The special halach of Shem B'Shem, as we talked about since the beginning of the shiur today, that's only a halach vis-a-vis a Jew, but when it comes to a non-Jew, so just a simple blasphemy without using the requirement of Shem B'Shem is not required. So ish ish lamali, and then what's the Torah teaching us with the words Yishish, so Dibra Torah Kalashon B'nei Adam. So the fact that it has a double language of Yishish, so that's because the Torah sometimes uses that, speaks in a language which they spoke back then. Tana Rabbanan. Okay. With all this stated now, so where do we stand in terms of the Gemara? The Gemara has given us some details regarding the Isra and the Torah of Giduf, of blasphemy. The Mishnah introduced it based on the previous Mishnah that there are 18 Yisurim in the Torah that are subject to the Skila penalty. This Mishnah took a deeper dive into the Isser of Giduf, and in the course of the discussion, the Gemara brought down a machlokus between Rav Meir and the Chacham, and whether or not the Isser of Giduf only applies to the Shema Miyuchad or it applies to the other Kinuyim, other Shemas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And on top of that, there's another machlokus, Amaraim, whether or not the same would be true for regarding Jew, regarding non-Jew. We certainly know that there's an Isser for Ben Noach not to be Megadif. Does he fall within the same parameters as the halachas of a Jew, or does he have different parameters within the halachas of a non-Jew? And that is a machlokas between Rav Yitzchak Nafcha and Rav Meisha, at least within their understanding of the Braisa. With that stated, now we're on the very bottom of Nvavim and Aleph, Tanur Rabbanan, and the Gemara now is going to begin its discussion of the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. This is the prime location in Shas that discusses Noach Ad Lo, Tanur Rabbanan. The Gemara quotes a brisa, Sheva Mitzvos and Seven B'nei Noach. There are seven mitzvos that apply to the B'nei Noach, and that is Dinim Birchas Hashem Avodah Zar Gilai Rai Shlichus Damim V'Gezel V'Evran Menachai. So number one is Dinim, to set up a court system. I'm going to come back to that point in just a moment. Birchas Hashem, blasphemy. We discussed that already extensively. Number three is Avodah Zar, idolatry, Gilai Raius, immoral relations, Shlichus Damim, murder, Gezel, theft, and Evran Menachai, and ripping off the limb of a live animal. These are the seven laws that are universal laws applied to all of humanity. For a moment, let's just spend a minute talking about Dinim. Let's talk about the first one. Dinim is unusual in that it's the of the list over here of the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. It is the only one that's a mitzvah seseh. It's only one that's a positive commandment. The other six are isurim. They're prohibitions. So it already in that point, it is unusual. There is a very interesting Ramban to be found on Chumash. In Parshas Vayishlach Perek Lamed Dalet, we're all familiar that Dina was abducted, and the brothers, specifically Shimon and Levi, were very upset that Dina was abducted. And then what they did in order to free Dina is that they made a deal with Shechem that they're going to get a bris milah, and then after on the third day post bris milah, so they decimated and killed all the members of the city of Shechem. So the Ramban over there asks a very simple question. How could Shimon and Levi, who are tzaddikim, how can they engage in that and that behavior? Meaning, what justified them to kill every member of the city? So the Ramban over there quotes the opinion of the Rambam. And he quotes the Rambam from Mishnah Torah, from Hilchos Malachim. And the Rambam over there writes, now I'm paraphrasing, I don't have a Rambam in front of me, and for that matter, I also don't have a Ramban in front of me as well. I'm paraphrasing, but the Rambam writes that the reason why Shimon and Levi felt justified in killing all the members of the city is because they were in violation of the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. Shechem abducted Dina, that's Gzela, that's theft, and so therefore he's a Gazan, and as we will be learning in the course of this whole sugya, for every one of the Averis of the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach, the Goy is going to be Chayv Misa, he's going to be subject to the death penalty, and as far as the other members of the city, so they're Chayv Misa because they didn't set up a court system, and the whole purpose of a court system, writes the Rambam, is to adjudicate the six Isurim that were given to them, and so Shechem violated the Isur of Gzela, and nobody within the city tried him for that, and for that they are now in violation of not setting up a court, And so therefore they're going to be chayv misa for the failure of setting up a court. That is the Rambam's opinion. So basically there are two interesting points that come out from the Rambam. One, number one, is that the whole purpose of dinim is to judge the other six isurim, meaning that dinim is really just a way of enforcement of the other six. And the other interesting thing that comes out from that Rambam is that if the community fails to set up a court, so that's going to be a capital crime. Now, later on in tomorrow's daf, I'm going to show you a Gemara that seems to indicate that the simple reading of the Gemara follows exactly like the Rambam, but that is a bit of a chiddush, and that the idea that that you're going to be chayv misa, you'll be subject to the death penalty for failure to observe a positive commandment. But the Rambam says that's exactly why what justified Shimon and Levi in killing off the entire members of the city. I encourage you strongly to look at the Ramban over there inside. The Ramban argues on actually both of those points that I just brought down, and see the Ramban at length over there. In the meantime, so what do we have? We're on the very bottom of Nun Vav Amud Aleph, turning to Nun Vav Amud Beis, and the Gemara introduced us to the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. Top now of the next Amud. Rabbi Hananya ben Gamla Omer. This is now a continuation of the Braisa. Af al hadam menachai. Not only is there an Isser of Aver menachai, but there's also an Isser of dam menachai as well. One is not allowed to take blood from a live animal. The Gemara later on is going to be discussing this in some detail. Rabbi Chidka Omer, af al haserus. There would be an Isser for a non-Jew to sterilize. Rabbi Shimon Omer, af al akisha. Rabbi Shimon includes on top of that also sorcery. Rabbi Yossi Omer, kol hamor beparshas kisha ben noch mazar alav. Anything that was said regarding sorcery, Ben Noach is prohibited from engaging in those kinds of activities. There are different types of sorcery described in this in the Torah within this pasuk. Please do not turn to me for a understanding of the distinctions between one type of sorcery and another type of sorcery. All I can say simply is that there are different types of sorceries. All these types of sorceries are going to be usher for Ben Noach to engage in. Velo anash ella im kein hizir. Now, Kadosh Baruch Hu destroyed the nations that were living in Canaan because they engaged in such activities. And the Gemara, using a reverse logic, says, well, if they were punished, clearly it must have been that it was prohibited for them to engage in such activity. So, according to the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, once a goy engages in any kind of these kinds of activities, so that is that's also included in Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach. Now, I keep saying the word Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach, but I hope this point is obvious, but I'm going to make it anyway. According to a number of Tanaim, the number is not limited to the number seven. We just call them Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach because that's the accepted viewpoint. But according to a number of Tanaim, it's actually more than seven. Rabbi Lazar Omer Af Al Haklayim. Rabbi Lazar says that one is going to be subject to Ben Noach is also subject to the Isser of Kalayim. Now, Mutam Ben Noach Lubosh Kalayim Lizroy Kalayim. Now, the Gemara goes on to explain this opinion of Rabbi Lazar. In terms of wearing wool and linen together, that would be fine. In terms of planting Kalayim, so that would be fine as well. The Ein Isurim Ela Barvas Behema Uva Harkavas Ilan. It will only be an Isser for them to cross animals, and also for grafting of trees. Those are the only parts of Kalayim that are going to be usher to the B'nai Noach, and once again, the Gemara is going to be spending some time later on discussing this opinion as well. Minayin Emilia, the Gemara now wants to know, where's the source for this? We are going back to the opinion of the Tanakhama that there are Sheva Mitzvos B'nai Noach, and the Gemara now is seeking a source. I'm Rav Yochanan Amakra, the Pasuk says, Ve'itzav Hashem Elokim Asa Adam Le'mor Mikol Eitz Hagan Achol Tochel. The Gemara quotes the Pasuk from Perek Beis in Sefer Bereishis. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives the commandment to Adam Rishon not to eat from the Eitz Hadas. The Gemara now understands that encrypted in this Pasuk is also the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach, and we're going to go now word by word within the Pasuk. Ve'itzav Elo Adim, Ve'itzav is a reference to the Dinim. Ve'chein Hu Omer Ki Yedati Laman Asher Yitzaveh Es Banav. I will command his children. This is in Vayera. The pasuk goes on to say, I'm reading the pasuk inside, Ki yedati laman asher yitzaveh banav es beito acharav v'shamru derech Hashem lasot tzedakah u'mishpat. So the see that the word siva is used in reference to mishpat. So that is how we get from vayitzav to dinim. Next word in that pasuk in Parshas Bereishis, Hashem Zubirchus Hashem, that is the Yisra of not blaspheming HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'chein Omer V'nokev Shem Hashem Osimas. Elokim zu avodas kochavim. Elokim is a reference to avodas zara. V'cheinu amar lo yelecha Elohim acherim. And al ha'adam zu shvichas damim. Adam is a reference to not committing murder. V'cheinu amar shavich dam ha'adam. And lemor zu gilui arayis. And lemor is a reference to immoral behavior. V'cheinu amar lemor heini shalach ish es ishto v'acha mi'ito v'aisa li'ish acher. The Gemara quotes a pasuk from the beginning of Yirmiyahu Perigimel, where it speaks to this idea that the word leimor is used in conjunction to adultery. Mikol eitz hagan lo gazal. Mikol eitz hagan, you're allowed to eat from any of the trees. Velo gazal, but you cannot steal from trees that belong to somebody. Achol tochev lo evar menachai, you're allowed to eat from the tree, but you're not allowed to eat from a live animal. Albeit that this one is a curiosity because Adam Rishon was not allowed to eat from any animal. But still, the Gemara understands that encrypting this pasuk is that if in the event that one would be allowed to eat an animal, so you're not allowed to eat the limb of a live animal. Okay, so this is now the Gemara's formulation of the Braisa vis-a-vis how we learn the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's instructions to Adam Rishon regarding the Eitz Hadas. Ki also Rav Yitzchak Tani Ibcha. Now when Rav Yitzchak comes in from Bavel, when he comes from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, so he taught just the opposite. Vayitzav zu avodas kochavim, Elokim zu dinim. So he flipped Vayitzav and Elokim, Vayitzav meaning in reference to avodas zara, and Elokim referring to dinim. Now Bishlam Elokim zu dinim. Now I certainly understand how Elokim can be in reference to creating a court. Dichsiv and ikrav bal habais el ha Elokim el Vayitzav zu avodas zara. My mashma, but how do we get from the word Vayitzav to avodas zara? The Gemara goes on to explain. Rav Chisda, Rav Yisrael, Rav Dimi, Chana mar sara maher min aderach asher tzivisa masulahem. So by the Egel HaZahav, the Torah goes on to describe that they deviated, and the Torah there uses the words Asher Tzivisim. So that allows us to get from Vayitzav to Avodah Zarah. V'char Amar Ashuk Ephraim Ritzutz Mishpaki Wa'il Halach Acharei Tzav. The context of the pasuk is in the description of the Jewish people worshipping idolatry. And again, the word over there that's used is Acharei Tzav, against the commandment, I mean the commandment of idolatry. Okay, so there are two possible sources in terms of how exactly we get from the word Vayitzav to Avodah Zarah. My Beinayu, now the Gemara points out, what would be the practical difference between these two positions? So the Gemara suggests that now there's a very basic nafgamina that would come out based on whether Vayitzav is a reference to Avodah Zarah or Vayitzav is a reference to Dinim. So the Gemara goes on to explain. Let's say a guy were to make the Avodah Zarah but didn't actually worship to it yet. So if it's a derivative of the word asu, so that means that the moment that they make the avodah zarah, they're subject to the capital punishment. And laman damer, laman damer, laman damer ki hoil alach. But if it's coming out from the pasuk of a hoil alach ad azabasra palachle, that means that you're only going to be in violation only when you start worshiping the avodah zarah. Amar rava mi ikal amanda amar avikochav shasa avodah zarah v'lo ishtach v'lachayev. The Gemara says it's a very difficult position to defend, that just for making an avodah zarah one would be subject to the death penalty. V'atanya, the Gemara quotes a brisa be avodas kochav as it relates to idolatry. Devarim shebeist in shel yisrael mimisim aleim v'noch muzar aleim. Ain based in shel yisrael mimisim aleim. Ain based in Ein ben Noach Muzar Aleim. So there is a clear relationship between when it hits the threshold for a capital crime by a Jew, vis-a-vis when it becomes an issur for Ben Noach. So presumably now what it means is that just like the threshold would be the actual Ovid of Avodah Zarah for a Jew, so presumably that would be the same exact threshold as it relates to a guy as well. So Rav Papas is not necessarily. Maybe over here the exclusion is regarding hugging and kissing an idol. Hugging and kissing an idol under certain circumstances would be considered idolatry, and under certain circumstances would not be considered idolatry. The Gemara says, "Gipa v'nishuk d'mai ilemet kedarka bar katalahu." The Gemara says, "Well, if it's derech, this is the way that this particular idol is worshipped through hugging and kissing." So the Gemara says, "So that is ovid of avodah zarah. That would be considered idolatry, subject to the death penalty." Elamut ishlo kedarka. So the Gemara says that we're talking about shlo kedarka. Shelo Kedarka means in this context that this is not the normal way that it was done. And since this is not the normal way in which it's done, so therefore one would not be subject to the death penalty. And the Gemara says, and maybe that's exactly what the parallel that exists between the Jew and the non-Jew are concerned, meaning vis-a-vis this iser of Shloka Dark, of not worshipping the idol in the way that it's normally worshipped. So in that regard, we're going to treat the Jew and the non-Jew the same. But vis-a-vis the halachas of Asiya, could very well be, the Gemara is still entertaining the idea that maybe for a Jew, he'll be subject to the death penalty only at the point of Avoda, but not at the point of Asiya. As it relates to a non-Jew, the Gemara is at least entertaining the possibility that maybe he'll be chayv Misa even at the point of Asiya, just by putting together the Avoda Zara. And that could be, says the Gemara, nafka mina, in terms of where you learn out the source of Avoda Zara from a goy. Okay, in quick review of the daf, so we started with the Mishnah on the bottom of Nun Hamid Beis describing Giduf. The Gemara gave us some basic parameters of Giduf. The Gemara described how the courtroom looks in the Giduf trial. The name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not be used until the very end when the person is about to be sentenced. And then the Gemara described the halacha of Shem V'Shem, Nokev Shem V'Shem. We discussed that at length. The Gemara brought down sources of, well, how do I know that the word Nokev specifically means one cursing Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And that led us to the Gemara's discussion regarding the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. We know that one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach is Giduf. The Gemara entertained the idea that maybe the Giduf regarding a Jew would be the same as Giduf regarding a non-Jew. The Gemara also entertained the idea that it might be slightly different. It may relate to the Machlokas between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. That's the Machlokas Amoraim between Rav Meisha and Rav Yitzhak Nafcha. And then the Gemara went into a lengthy exposition regarding the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. The Gemara brought in the Tanakama's position, which is the one we're used to hearing. The Gemara also brought in other positions and opinions as well in terms of what exactly is considered Isurim B'nai Noach. We discussed a little bit in terms of Dinim, what exactly is included in the mitzvah of Dinim. And then the Gemara discussed very briefly where the sources of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach.